D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Great start for me there. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Of course, as we mentioned at the top of the show, we are mourning the loss of Willie's wife, Erin, who lost her battle with cancer yesterday. We will take your thoughts, any memories you have of Erin Donick on our phone and text lines at 615-737-1025. We bring in Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton in Withrow. Hello, Hutton. How are you?
I'm doing okay. My heart breaks for Willie and for Evie Mahoney. Erin was a beautiful person inside and out. And she had the gift of if you talked to her for 5 minutes, she made you feel like you knew her for 5 years. I thought, you know, just thinking back on some of the memories I had with her and Willie from my early time when I was interning with Titans Radio in 2005, 2006, they were just making the move over to Citadel and she opened up her house. I'll never forget, for whatever reason, we all call him Willie.
Yes,
but it's Will.
Yes,
it's Will. And just her energy, her passion for stars. I'll think of you think of Erin when you think of Willie, and you think of Willie whenever I'm talking about Erin. So thoughts and prayers to the family. And again, I'm just thinking about Willie today.
Absolutely. So with day one of practice in the books at Titans training camp, Hutton, I know you weren't out there today, but
right.
Outside of Cam Ward, what is your number one storyline of Titans training camp?
Well, it's the youth. It's the rookies. I mean, this is going to be a gradual build with what they're doing now. You know, it's the opposite of last year, where all the hype was about last year going into the season. Adam, they couldn't even hide it if they wanted to yesterday. They were very honest in the presser when Big Joe asked about the Super Bowl capabilities of this team. So, of course, we all know the answer, but – you know, it's how you handle the answer, right? And they're looking ahead. But can you jumpstart a bit of that? You know, can CJ Stroud from 2 years ago be in the works for the Titans at quarterback? And if so, that means some young receivers are starting to blend in with this roster. They're not waiting around to contribute, which has been an anchor for many Titans rookies in the past. You know, it's like they draft the player and then we all wait to see if that player is going to make it or not, but it takes a year or two. But I want to see some of the rookies jump up and, you know, grab the brass ring, so to speak. If they do that, they can maybe be a year ahead of where they probably should be on this timetable.
I want to ask you a question that Derek and I are going to discuss after we get off here with you. Chad Brinker had a quote yesterday buried in a longer answer about not a lot of stars on the roster, hopeful that some players could emerge as stars. You just touched on it there as well. Obviously, Cam Ward is a player that the Titans hope has a chance to become a star. When you look at the younger players on this roster, how many do you think have a realistic chance of becoming stars in the NFL?
Okay, when you say let me give you my definition for the Titans roster right now.
Sure.
And you tell me if I'm on the right track or if you're just you're talking like top 100 player. To me, how many players right now do the Titans have where fans want to buy their jersey?
That's one way to look at it.
I mean, right now what? Two or three?
Cam Ward,
Ridley, and
Jeffrey Simmons. Yeah, Calvin Ridley. Yeah,
Ridley. I don't even know if I don't see many Ridley jerseys. You get my point.
I think you can count the number on one hand. Whatever the number is, I think you can count it on one hand.
And part of that is, you know, drafting. No offense to offensive linemen, drafting a lot of offensive linemen recently.
Yes,
but stars have not developed. And so you're going to have to ask the question: how many do I foresee developing?
Sure, we all hope. If you are a Titans fan, that Cam Ward becomes a star. But we're looking at some of the under 25 players on this roster. Are you? And I understand that, for example, it's hard for an offensive lineman to become a star. Sure. But Peter Skoronski, J.C. Latham, Tavondre Sweat, when you look at those players, what we've seen from them so far in their NFL careers, sans Ward, of course, because he hasn't started his regular season NFL career, do you see any of those other under 25 players with the makings of becoming a star at some point?
I mean, old Dejo's got the pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's got the look about it. You know, the traits of the NFL draft. I mean, Mace, you've been around when a pass rusher with traits, albeit a bigger and better, I would say, forecast for Javon in his rookie year. But Mace, think about what Curse meant to the defense, and just having that one pass rusher. You know, that group had more, but I'm saying that right now, 5 sacks is going to lead this team. I mean, that's the projection right now. Can they have someone that just catches fire at pass rush? To me, Adam, that's really it. Because Tavondre Sweat can be, I don't know, he's not going to get sacks. He got a lot of tackles for loss in college, but, you know, 7 or 8 sacks for his career in college. But he played a lot for Texas. I'm not trying to hate on the guy, but that's how you become the star in the defensive backfield. You know, he needs to be able to help others become that player. And that could certainly benefit a rookie on the edge.
I want to ask you about the NFLPA leadership, let's call it scandal, the NFLPA leadership scandal. Yeah. And here's what I find fascinating about this story from a journalism standpoint. When the news of this scandal first broke from Pablo Torre, I feel like it barely registered at all in the media landscape. It was a bombshell story. It felt like it didn't really get any attention. Then there was follow-up reporting from ESPN and other places leading to the resignation of Lloyd Howell as the lead of the NFLPA. But now that we are here in this story, what do you make of it? What do you think the fallout is going to be, the lasting impact of all of this unrest in the NFLPA?
I don't think it's a coincidence that it wasn't covered that much until the NFLPA executive director was at the forefront of all this. You know, there's a lot of media partners with the National Football League, a lot. And a lot of the focus has been on the NFLPA because this guy's charging things to strip clubs and doing all the, I mean, but you got to remember, Goodell's also involved in this. The NFL was 50% of this, you know, this whole saga. And they're the ones that, you know, have been accused of the collusion, which is very difficult to prove. But you've got so much detail here with what Pablo Torre has reported and other outlets, but not to the scope of what you're talking about, Adam. And I think that there's another layer to it where, yet again, this is another example of the NFLPA showing it's the weakest of the player associations across the board in the big sports. You know, and the NFL owners, once again, pointing and, you know, deflecting the interest level of a story to the other side, which is typical, but it doesn't always have to be this way. but somehow it finds its way to the players normally.
Yeah, it does. And it's unfortunate in this situation because, you know, you fight for so long, the NFLPA, and to show people that we are not the weakest, you know, union. And
right,
then something
right.
like this happens and it goes back to, well, this didn't happen with our unions and we're able to, this whole collusion stuff didn't happen in our union. It's just a whole bunch of stuff that is going on with the NFLPA that shouldn't be going on. And it's putting a black eye. The NFL is looking at it and laughing, I'm sure, because now the collusion stuff, it's nobody's talking about that.
Nope.
They're talking about, you know, the NFLPA and their mishaps financially. That's what they're mm-hmm. talking about. They're not talking about the collusion. So the NFL owners are like, good. Thank you for allowing that to happen, or thank you for going to a strip club and using their dime, because no longer are we talking about the NFL inclusion. But
yeah, you're right.
Let me get back to the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, let's do it. I
went out there today, Hutt, and you know, and Adam asked me how I was, and I just felt that it was, and a team that's coming off of two back-to-back losing seasons.
Yeah.
Someone shouldn't walk away from the first day of practice saying, it wasn't no energy. It just felt slow. Even the quarterback said it's mid.
Cam Ward said it was quote unquote mid.
Yeah,
the first day of practice.
And our callers, you know, they called in and texted in and said, well, whose fault is that?
Before you answer, can I give you my initial reaction?
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. This is not Brian Callahan's got to be better than this.
Mm-hmm.
The energy. All right, go ahead. I don't know if you're going there or not.
Yeah, yeah. That's where I was going. Like,
whose
fault?
This is not good for year two first practice. Here.
Exactly. Like, whose fault is it? Because our listeners want to know. Titans fans want to know when they hear your quarterback saying it was mid, and then other people, you know, putting it out there saying the practice was sort of lackluster in a sense. When you come off a season that you came off of, that this team mm-hmm. come off of, the first day of practice should never be described as, from your starting quarterback, rookie quarterback, as mid, and other people
rookie
as
rookie quarterback in his first training camp practice.
Exactly.
And if he doesn't bring the energy, no one's going to.
Exactly. So that, to me, it falls on Brian Callahan. What do you think about it?
I mean, I thought he was approaching the offseason in a different way. That's mm-hmm. what he said, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to change up some of the vibes or whatever he's doing. There's got to be better carryover from whatever they said that was a success in OTAs and minicamps to what you're describing. Albeit, I wasn't there, Mace.
Mm-hmm.
But you would know energy level at a practice. And whenever you're just kind of – I mean, you're just kind of like lethargic to it, it sounds
yes.
like.
Yeah, seemed to be no energy out there. And
it feels, you know what? The energy that to me, that's reflective. It's kind of they practice the way we saw Borgonzi and Brinker answer the question yesterday about Super Bowl.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, you're right about that.
If I were to compare the two, I mean, it sounds kind of mid.
Yeah, well, what battles are you looking at now that you know, now the camp has started? And there are some you know, certain spots where, well, hell,
yeah.
the whole roster is up for battle. But what spots are you looking at particular?
Well, I mean, just by sheer numbers, we have to discuss receiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I'm interested to see if the veteran depth on the back end of this takes over. More so than the youth card. But I mean, the numbers alone with what they've done in the draft, they're going to keep, several, just regardless of what they do based on where they're drafted. At least that's my impression of it. And then beyond that, Mace, interior defensive line on the back end, of course, they're going to need help at corner. And, the battle I really want to see is L'Jarius Sneed going to, you know, get over his knee and battle through the pain. We'll see. I'll believe it when I see it at this point.
Hutton, I do want to ask you about the quote-unquote controversy that WNBA players drummed up this past weekend with the Pay Us What You Owe Us shirts they wore at the All-Star game. And unsurprisingly, the reaction has been all over the place.
Well,
where do you stand on this?
So they should be paid more, but they're going about it the wrong way. The optics of it. Here's the thing. You can tell that they have not been through a CBA negotiation before. You can tell that they're on one side, there are NBA owners who are going to run laps around them whenever it comes time to negotiate this thing. They're just now doing it in person, I believe, last week. It's up in October 31st, I believe, is whenever we probably have a labor stoppage for the league. I mean, I think that's coming. But as far as leverage goes, I mean, it's all with the owners right now. I mean, it's not like they can pay them less. I mean, they're getting like $70,000 base for a league that's been losing money. Yes, but keep in mind, the NBA can allocate however much or however little they want to that league. So it's in their best interest, honestly, to continue to have that league lose money, because that gives them more leverage when it comes time for negotiations in the CBA. They don't want the league to look too good, because then they owe the players too much. And right now it's, you know, we know it's Caitlin Clark and others, but it collectively, you know, they have not embraced as a group of players. They have not embraced their top asset in Caitlin Clark, which has brought over a brand new audience to the league that they should embrace, but for whatever reason have not fully done so. And on the other hand, you know, they're trying to figure out, okay, pay us what you owe us. What are you owed? I want to know like what they feel like they should be getting, because that wasn't on the t-shirt. So I can get behind their messaging there, as long as I kind of understand where they're going. But I feel like it's been very foggy and messy with how they've as a collective group, as I'm going to say they, how they've handled a lot of this. And we're just getting started. Let's put it that way.
Is it as simple as following the NBA model and splitting basketball related income right down the middle? Because it's been reported, depending on the outlet, that the current split between the WNBA owners and players is 75-25 or 90-10, depending on where
it goes up and down.
Right.
Yeah, or can. Yeah.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
So is it as simple as just saying, hey, we'll split it right down the middle with you?
Well, I don't know if it'll be right down the middle yet, but see that it can be, because they keep in mind they have the new TV agreement, just like the NBA. The NBA negotiated this. It's worth over $2 billion. But if they hit certain markers between now and, I believe, 2 years from now, they can. There's a clause in this where the WNBA can go back to the negotiating table with broadcasters and regroup on the finances of that TV deal and the money that the NBA has allocated to them, which is $2.2 billion of the 70-some-odd billion-dollar contract that they negotiated. So with that in mind, you know, how do they get there, and how do they negotiate and maybe map out a way to get something now, but also hit some of those markers and hit some of those bonus numbers, so to speak, that where the entire league benefits and maybe uses it as a trampoline for 2 years from now, it really skyrockets, which is what we're seeing right now. And let's see, the NFL and the NBA with all the new TV money coming in. That's what the WNBA needs, is they need to see the not distant future, but a couple seasons from now. And right now, I think they're looking towards next year. A lot of the players, Adam, negotiated with their contracts, they will be free. A lot of them will be free agents after this season on purpose. So, you know, they're not looking much further than this season whenever they're talking about pay us what you owe us, because they're all going to be free agents.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us on D. Mace, Vingan, and Donick, as he does every week. Hutton, great stuff as always, my friend. We'll catch up next week.
Okay, that sounds great, guys. Thank you.
Jonathan Hutton on the program, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we are going to get into a discussion that we previewed there with Hutton about the Titans' lack of star power and what they can do about it. 615-737-1025. Before we get there this September, Tim McGraw will be performing at Trine Tix's Rock the Cradle in Nashville, a meaningful event supporting newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org.